Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
And then at the point where I was going to take this trip, I was really looking for the signs to point me in the right direction. I was thinking about anywhere in the world I could go, really. But I saw a TED Talk that was about creativity and inspiration, another gorgeous like Medium article. Just all these things kept bubbling to the surface that were pointing to Bali as being a place for spirituality, personal reinvention, and creativity. And I felt like I need like a very creative, fresh approach to living, to life. That's what I'm looking for.
How you day. That was the voice of Elizabeth Grojean. Now, some of you might have heard these quotes about sleep. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Or you might have heard the positive way. A good laugh and a long sleep are the best cures in the doctor's book. Either way, if you're going with the former or the latter, I do think both have an interesting insight into what we need to work on. For those of us that say I was asleep when I was dead, and I used to be one of these people, I do think that there's a way to rephrase that where we can figure out when our most productive hours for sleep are, and then use those moments to fuel our passion for hustle. The idea of depriving ourselves off of sleep is so dangerous and so toxic, and it's something that we need to unlearn, something I have needed to unlearn. So I was so excited when I got a chance to talk to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is the founder of a company that produces weighted blankets, and in the episode, you learn about the benefits of weighted blankets. You'll also learn about her interesting journey and how she found her path, her passion, her mission. And I think it's going to be pretty inspiring for many of you who might feel lost, who might feel stuck with a programming that seems to work for other entrepreneurs, but maybe not you. There is your path, and your path matters. Enjoy the episode. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today I have with me Elizabeth Grojean, the founder of Blue Living. And there's a story behind the name. We'll get there. But she is a sleep expert, a savvy business owner, and a crystal expert. We're going to be talking about how she came to build this brand that is Blue Living and the benefits of what weighted blanket does and why insomnia is connected to anxiety. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here and talk about all my favorite topics.
Well, the pleasure's mine. And is it true though? I did some research on you and I saw that did you come from an entrepreneurial family? Or was it your dad?
Yeah, there's some entrepreneurship. My dad is an engineer by training and he had a business in the 80s, which was an RV park, a luxury RV park, established right next to SeaWorld when it came to San Antonio, Texas. And that was like a beautiful part of my childhood, was swimming and playing in the hill country at the RV park. And he no longer is involved with the park, but he now has a consulting practice for the Americans with Disabilities Act.
An RV park. I see the RVs on TVs, but I never even realized that a park is probably where a lot of the RVs reside.
They need a place to sleep.
That's true.
The plumbing.
Hey, need a place to sleep. I don't know if they need a metaphorical weighted blanket, but that might have helped. But so, okay. So this is Houston. Was it Houston or they grew up in
San Antonio, actually.
So San Antonio. Okay. So you grew up in San Antonio. And then you were graduating to college, from college or leaving high school. how did you decide what you were going to choose for your career path?
Yeah. So my early, you know, career path decisions were based on sort of how can I kick this ball as far down the field without having to decide what I'm going to do as possible. So I chose a marketing degree, being sort of what I saw the most general business degree and the one that was going to help me avoid math at all costs, which I found out you really cannot escape math. It's everywhere. But I wanted to do something that was a mix of practical and creative. So I chose marketing. And then from there, I kind of tried on a bunch of different hats, careers, cities, was just really, I think, collecting experiences and really curious about learning as much as I could as possible. So that took me, I mean, I can kind of give you the quick list.
Yeah, I know. I'd love to hear about the experiences you were collecting, because a lot of people listening, especially now, are in that moment where they're collecting experiences and it's taking them to different parts of the world, or if we're staying static, it's taking them to different mindsets and areas within their accounts.
One of my great quotes that I loved at the time was thinking, if you have 20 years of experience, but it's in the same job or the same field, you really just have 1 year of experience lived 20 different times in a row. So I was like, how can I get as much experience as possible? And that meant putting myself through a lot of uncomfortable change, I think, but to experience new things. So, here's kind of like the quick list of what I got to experience / put myself through for my 20s and early 30s. So I majored in 2003 with a marketing degree from UT, which was pre-digital marketing. You know, this was Facebook was like not yet really even a thing outside of Harvard at the time. Went to work for my dad. He had an architecture engineering firm, marketing coordinator, did that for a couple years, was like, got to get out of Texas. My sister got a job in DC. So I moved with her, got a job on the Hill working for a lobbyist for one of the first women to have her own lobbying firm. She was an OG lobbyist. We had a little townhouse on Pennsylvania Avenue, and I had an incredible year working with her, seeing some politics up close and personal, and realized politics is theater. It is not for what I want my life to be about. So I left DC and went to Chicago, where I got a job at BBDO Advertising as a marketing coordinator, got to work in the house of a big agency on the Wrigley Gum account and see what that was all about, which was pretty amazing. They launched Five Gum the year that I was there. So got to see all the ads and the concepts getting created. I mean, I never left the office, but I was doing expense reports for people who did.
That's amazing. And so, okay, so you're doing all these things, and I was reading up on you come up with this personal crisis in yourself, where you're asking yourself, what is it that you want to do? And you take this trip to, was it Bali?
Yeah. So I ended up in New York, where I was very happy for like 10 years, bunch of intense corporate job experiences, but realized at this point, okay, I have reinvented myself so many times. I've had so many great adventures, but I'm still feeling unfulfilled. Why is that? What can I do about that? And I think I was tired of trying to answer that question. So I decided to just stop asking and give myself a break. And I bought a one-way ticket to Bali. It was kind of like, just kind of surrender. Like, I give up. I don't know how to manage this thing called a career. My resume looks like a bunch of random pieces of dots that don't connect. So I'm going to take a break. I went to Bali on a one-way ticket.
It's like, you've probably heard this comparison. I'm sure you might be tired of it at this point, but the Eat, Pray, Love type of comparison, where
totally very real. I mean, cliches are there for a reason.
Hey, wasn't it in New York? Wasn't she in New York first too, before she decided to move?
Yes.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, Elizabeth Gilbert.
Yeah, and I remember the whole thing. Okay, so you decide to go there. Walk me through what you land in.
So it was a process, I would say, of becoming comfortable in my own skin. One of the first things I noticed about myself was how uncomfortable it felt not to be sort of driven by productivity, which I'd become so used to doing. It's like, here you are, you have nothing that you have to do, nothing to prove to anyone. If I meet someone new, I don't even know how to introduce myself. I can't say, hi, I do X, Y, Z, and I'm here on vacation. I can't say like, oh, I'm a student, I'm backpacking. It was just like, hi, I'm Elizabeth. Pause. I don't know what I'm doing next. I'm just here. So not having something to sort of identify or label yourself with can be very uncomfortable, I think, for us, the way that we're sort of programmed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But eventually, you know, get used to that.
I'm just trying to think about the time, because I remember, I know Bali became a hotspot for a lot of nomads at some point in the last few years. This is pre-pandemic. But I can't, did you get there before that was happening?
I was there in 2017 for this trip. Yeah. So, I'd been there once before on vacation, so I'd gotten a glimpse and seen how magical it was. Mm-hmm. And then at the point where I was going to take this trip, I was really looking for the signs to point me in the right direction. I was thinking about anywhere in the world I could go, really. But I saw a TED talk that was about creativity and inspiration, another gorgeous like Medium article, just all these things kept bubbling to the surface that were pointing to Bali as being a place for spirituality, personal reinvention, and creativity. Mm. And I felt like I need like a very creative, fresh approach to living, to life. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay. All right. So you surrender. You're in a new place on the other side of the world, time zones apart. What's happening to you? How does the idea of blue living come to you?
So it was several months in, first of all, of just letting myself do nothing and decompress, which was amazing. I came back to New York, okay, thinking I found the answers to happiness in life. Let's go. Reverse culture shock. Whoa. Ouch. No, I didn't. I was like, now what do I do? So I was like, either I stay in New York, I look for a job to pay rent, or I go back to Bali. I had like a little bit of savings left. Went back to Bali. I was like, okay, the deal I'm making with myself is if I make this choice to kind of go back into the unknown without a plan for how I'm going to support myself in literally the other side of the planet where no family or support network is, there's got to be a reason to do that. And my reason was, I'm going to create a lifestyle and a business for myself that's going to let me live my life on my terms. No more asking for vacation time approvals, tracking days, showing up in the office. That was over for me finally. And I knew that Bali had an environment and a community of people there who were living life on their own terms. Digital nomads is one way to refer to them, but there's many types of digital nomads. It's such like a box to put someone in.
It is. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. But you know, internet-based businesses, entrepreneurship, whatever. It's like, I'm going to go put myself around these people, get out of this conventional mindset or way of thinking and be with people who are living outside the box. And by being with them in community with them, I trust that I will find my path. Okay. So that's a long way to say I was there. I decided to launch an e-commerce business. I knew I wanted to sell a product. I love selling products. It's such a physical connection that you can have with another person. I was doing research on products, and that's when I discovered weighted blankets. And as soon as I saw this thing, like I'd heard of them, but I'd never tried one. I saw some data on the trend and sort of the effectiveness and how they work. And I was so intrigued. I think I got the idea on a Tuesday, and I had booked a ticket for like 5 days later to go to supply factories in other Asian countries to meet factories. Cause I was like, this is it. And then as soon as I brought a sample back with me, I tried it. I was sort of overcome by the feeling of it. You know, it was such a beautiful experience to actually use a weighted blanket that I'd never felt before. So that's when it sort of became something that I saw as a financial opportunity to something that was like, I felt deeply connected to and wanted to share with people.
Wow. And the name, I know we had a fun time discussing this when we talked before. Why did you name
Baloo?
It? Yeah.
Yes. I've always loved the name Baloo. It comes from Baloo, the bear from the Jungle Book.
Yes, the Jungle Book.
Yeah. And yeah, what I love about the name fitting this brand so perfectly is that, you know, the guy is a bear that sings and dances through the jungle. He doesn't stress. He doesn't worry. I'm pretty sure he doesn't have insomnia or have trouble going to sleep. You know, that's his whole thing.
I never thought of it that way. I never even thought that he probably doesn't have insomnia. That's
which so happy go lucky.
Ah, that is so brilliant. Okay. Okay. So then this is a beautiful lesson with Brandon. There's something that you like and you determine, hey, I'm going to make it happen because I like it and I'm going to name my company this. And I think it's important for entrepreneurs to learn this sometimes, because sometimes when you're in the branding process, you know, people can get caught up in names and feel like, well, if it's not this, it's not that, who's going to, you know, understand. But you just said, you know, something I like this show, this movie rather, and I'm going to name my company that.
I mean, this is like the most easy branding experience I've ever heard of anyone having. I couldn't believe that this name wasn't trademarked already. The URL was available. That I think that never happens, but I took it as a sign.
All in stride. Okay. So to stay with the branding, because I really wanted to dive into this. You did this thing that many people don't really practice, which is surrender. And then you went to this place, you were listening to any sign you could listen to, but you also following your inner compass. But what were those steps, looking back, that you can now say were essential for your brand to be as effective and successful as it has been since then, since launch?
I think that rather than it being a roadmap, it was something that I felt so deeply in my heart, like in my body and my bones, that was actually felt as though it was getting expressed through me. It wasn't coming from me. It wasn't a strategic decision about this is what a brand should be, or we need to check these boxes to quote unquote be a brand. It was really about how do I package in a way that's consumable for people, because I understand that we're busy. We can only consume so much information at a time. But this like lived experience that I've been having of reconnecting with myself, of learning surrender, of putting myself in nature, of re-experiencing my body, my energy as a human being, and sort of how divine and amazing that is.
Yeah.
How do you package that as an experience to share with someone in a way that they're going to get it quickly? And the short answer is, I don't know, but we did it. And the way that we did it, I think, is through just putting brand in the DNA of every single decision that was made, because it was coming from that place.
Yeah.
It wasn't coming from the outside in as a strategic move. It was coming from the inside out as, if we're going to do this, this is what we're doing and why. And so every decision we make, from the product to the words that we use to describe the messaging, to the color schemes, to the give back programs and the way we design our customer service, is going to be about being of service to others and ourselves, because yeah, we're all in this together. You know, I can't be of service to you if I'm not also taking care of myself, and vice versa.
Facts.
There's this holistic like approach to wellness.
Okay. With wellness, I'm someone that has always struggled with sleep. And I remember one of my friends bought me a weighted blanket. I'd never heard of weighted blanket until some point last year. And she insisted, yeah, she says, I'm sending you something, you can't say no. Because I have this, I always like to deflect, and I'm like, no, don't have to send me anything. It's like, I'm sending you something, you can't say no. And I was like, okay. And it came, it was this heavy thin, because I saw it was a blanket, but it was heavier than it looked. It's like, wait, why is this heavy? It's like a weighted blanket, and it's supposed to help with your anxiety and sleep. But I turned it on. It was in the middle of the, I opened it and I, you know, put it, covered myself in the middle of the day. And next thing I know, I fell asleep. And I woke up maybe 3 or 4 hours later. Luckily, I didn't have any other things scheduled because I woke up in a panic thinking, oh, shoot, I have my meeting. But I didn't know what happened because I was very skeptical at first. But then I just, it's like my lower parts of my legs just calmed down or something. It felt like a hug. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
So please explain to me the mechanics behind how something as heavy as a weight blanket can actually make you feel calmer.
Have this response. Yeah, it's really powerful because it's very simple and it's hard to talk about an experience versus having it. But
yeah,
what's happening with a weighted blanket is basically it's putting this even gentle pressure across your body. And this has been studied in numerous studies. There have been some studies on weighted blankets more on deep pressure touch, which is the mechanism it's using, which you can look at and observe in the same concept of like being hugged or held, or when your baby being swaddled, or even massage is using deep pressure touch. And there's a response in the nervous system that tells it that it's okay to relax, that, you know, that fight or flight can let go for a second because you're being held, you're protected, and you're covered. It's like shelter on a primal level. You're safe, you're sheltered.
Wow.
And there's a response that's been measured in the body as well through deep pressure touch research, which shows that you have a decrease in cortisol, which is the stress hormone, and an increase in serotonin, which we all know feels really good. And then serotonin actually naturally converts to melatonin, which is the hormone that gives the body the cue to rest. So that's why you fall into that deep sleep sort of unexpectedly. And there's this hormonal reaction or chemical reaction happening in the body in response to the weighted blanket.
Yeah. It didn't make sense to me, but when I did some research and even hearing you talk, I can see how that's the case because I don't know what it is. I have a lot of thoughts going through my mind. I'm a very active thinker. And so when it's time to sleep, I just find myself coming up with different activities to to come up with, or I'm just up and then it's 4 a.m. and then I'm like, oh, shoot, I have to wake up at 6. And then it's just the end of the day. And it's been this way since I was a kid, especially before big events, like first day of school, speaking engagements, or moving somewhere. We moved around a lot. I just navigated. I thought it was, I don't know, this is what I would just have to deal with. But some things within a blanket can actually change that.
Yeah. And I've been so inspired by that, the way that the body is designed like this to respond this way. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Simple, but yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Just wanted to stop by here before we get back to the episode. I wanted to let you all know that I do have a collective for people who are interested in developing their cultural competency skills, becoming more anti-racist, and it's a resource of things that you can do with your family, with your school, with yourself to work through your individual journey to become a better culturally competent leader. It's called UID Collective, and the link is in the show notes, but it's a mix of courses, it's a mix of resources, things you can download, and all you need to do is sign up as a member. It's a monthly membership. I'd love for you to check it out, use it with your friends, use it with your family, use it with yourself. Okay, the link is in the show notes. It's called UID Collective, and it's for those of you that want to improve your cultural competency skills. Back to the episode. There's something else though with yours, because you put crystals, I believe, in yours. Is that correct? Or
when we launched, a lot of blanket makers were using plastic beads as their weighted filling. And I was like, absolutely. If we're going to do something, we're going to do it ethically, sustainably. So we're using glass microbeads. And we're the only brand that's using all natural materials. So there's other weighted blankets that will say they're 100% cotton, but what they mean is on the outside, because on the inside there's layers of polyester. So we're using just cotton throughout, which I think is part of the reason why our blanket is called the most breathable, coolest weighted blanket. It doesn't trap heat. You know, microbeads don't trap heat. You've just got a couple layers of cotton on your body. So that's why I could use it in Bali where it's 80 degrees and you don't have air conditioner. You can use it all year round in any type of climate without getting too overheated.
And it's the only eco-friendly luxury weighted blanket made with lead glass microbeads. Is that correct?
Yes. And soft premium cotton. Lead-free glass microbeads. Yeah.
I was just reading that. I was like, I hope I'm saying this right. Lead-free.
You got it.
Okay. So it's very clear that sustainability is important to your product and brand. You are someone that embodies that value and you want that to ring true with anything that is affiliated with you.
Yeah. 100%. You know, I had a moment of hesitation in even launching the business because I didn't want to create something that's a mass produced consumer product. You know, it seems like to go against sort of, but you know, you can only get involved and make a difference if you're participating. So it's like either I get in business and I improve the way that things are done, or I don't. And I sit on the sidelines and I criticize. Well, that doesn't do any good.
Which is a lot of the world today.
Yeah, and it's very easy to be justified and not take action.
That's right.
So
that's right.
We're going to do this. We won't be perfect. We're going to learn as we go, and we're going to improve. And that's what we've done. So we use plastic-free packaging. And I think the biggest way that we contribute is through our partnership with Sea Trees, which is a nonprofit organization that is extremely innovative and passionate in their work. So we offset our carbon footprint with them, and then we pay it forward an additional ton for every ton that we offset. So we're positive. We're not just neutral on the climate.
Okay.
And the work that they do, I'll just briefly mention it, is reforesting kelp forests and mangrove forests, because their research is showing that ecosystems on the edge of blue water ecosystems, so like the edge of the ocean, can sequester 5 times more carbon than tropical rainforests even.
Oh, wow. Seriously?
That's what they say. That's their research. Yeah.
Wow. That is.
Yeah.
Okay, this is I'm such a nerd for these things. So I'll be looking into this more. I'm curious though, failures. Any failures that you've had while launching? Any things that you've considered learning opportunities as you've discovered?
Yes, many, many, many.
Which can you share?
Let's think. There have been so many. Well, there's like kind of a fun story. I don't know if I would call it a failure. It was definitely a breakdown. But this was our first Christmas launch when we got a huge piece of press and sold everything that we had for the entire holidays in 2 days. And I didn't have anyone at this point. It was my first Christmas. It was just me. I had no one on customer service. The inventory had arrived at the warehouse literally the day before the press piece came out. It was a new warehouse. They'd never fulfilled a single order for us before. And all of a sudden we had this barrage of orders. The factory had mislabeled some cartons, so things were getting misshipped out. So I flew there to the warehouse. We sorted it out. It took weeks. We started just writing personal notes inside of our boxes of reshipped items to say like, so sorry, can you please send us back the one we sent you? Here's a return postage label and here's the correct one. And we got everything returned to us, except for 2 people. So we double shipped everything with a love note inside. And we're like, please send the first one back. And everyone did, which was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everyone?
Yes. I mean, we were small. So it was several hundred orders, but all but 2 people returned their item and were so understanding and kind and gracious about it. I think that people knew we were a new young company. And so a lot of learnings, I think, are very small things that you learn through mistakes. One of ours was to make sure that we have an inspection done to always make sure that the outer carton labels match what's inside the carton, because you don't, and that product just gets shipped out.
That's right. The other thing that I've noticed is I have a few friends who are launching businesses. One of the things that they discuss is that idea of inventory. How do you deal with demand? One of my friends she's launching a candle business, for example. Actually, today is her launch day. And so we were just talking on the phone, and I was asking her about what happens if an event books. You know, they say they want, I don't know, 200 of your candles. And yeah. She goes, oh, shoot, I have, then that would mean I have to like let them know about the time. And, you know, it's only me now. And I'll have to like get a factory and then all these other things. When you have that fluctuating demand going on where you're not sure if it's just maybe 10 people versus 300 people.
So balancing inventory and cash flow, I think, is the most difficult part of the whole job.
Yeah.
Because, you know, COVID happened and the whole month of March, I think people froze. We were all waiting to see what was going to happen in March, 2020.
Yeah.
April came, people are out there looking for natural solutions and supports. We're running Facebook ads. We sold out of almost everything within 2 months. June comes, we had no more stock. Like it's so tricky, and it takes, you know, we have a 3 month lead time. So we have to forecast out 3 months at least to project what we think we're going to need.
Yeah.
And we're usually under or over. I mean, that's one of the most challenging things to do.
I can imagine. And you ship internationally. Internationally too, though, right? You do international.
What's that?
You also ship internationally.
Yeah, we do international shipping as well from our website.
Dang.
So it's a pretty small part of our business, but we wanted to make it available for anyone, wherever they are. We have websites in Canada, and we have a website launching soon in the UK. So we'll be local in those markets.
So how did you find your balance? Because you grew right now, you've grown to a level, and we're going to, something I want to ask you, you use affiliate marketing as well. And it's been really successful for you. It's led to like six figure months for you. But with six figure months, that's a lot of blankets. So do you have all these partnerships with all these people in the inventory since you're forecasting 3 months out? You're saying, I'm predicting this. And
for the first 2 years, it was just me, and I didn't have any full-time employees because I really valued like freedom and independence for my own self. And it's fun. It's, you know, if you ask me about mistakes, like probably one of my biggest mistakes was being so stubborn about getting help and building a team, because now that I have a team in place, my life is completely different, and it's so much better for the business. But we're a small team. I mean, we're only five people, including me. My sister came on board about a year ago. I recruited her away. She went to like this Ivy League education. She had this great corporate sales job, and I got her to come work with me like 1 month before COVID started. We had no idea what was about to come happen. And so now she's director of operations, and she's new on the job in terms of learning everything, but she's got a really great brain. And so now she's focusing on it. And it's really challenging. I mean, I've talked to so many people about how do you manage supply chain inventory forecasting. There's no secret sauce. Like no one has the secret answer. It's just your best guess.
You just do. Yeah.
You just do. Take a risk.
the times
I've been super wrong, right? I tend to be super optimistic, which I think is an entrepreneur's, you know, call it gift or a curse. Mm-hmm. I'll get really optimistic. I'll place these huge inventory buys, and then they won't move that fast. And then I'll be having to sit on all this inventory, and I have no cash flow. And there's been one time that happened, and I had two friends come through with, one gave me a five-figure loan and a six-figure loan just to float me for the time that I needed it. If you'd asked me if I had those kind of friends, I would have said, no, I'm not that person.
I was about to ask, where can I apply for these type of friends?
But it's like this amazing, experience of like the universe is there for you when you need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're on your path, when you trust.
And I think that's something you've been learning too, though, since, you know, you followed your path to Bali, you launched this company, and then here you are, you know, with loans, and I'm sure you've, you know,
they're paid off now.
Exactly. So, that's fascinating to me. Okay. Well, The other aspect of this, I run a diversity, equity, inclusion firm. Right? Representation is very important to me. One of the unfortunate things we see in the global landscape of entrepreneurship is this idea of, you know, not enough female entrepreneurs in the space. And specifically, I mean, I don't know how it is in the wellness industry, but I do know that overall the narrative is very different. What have you noticed as you've become a prominent woman in the entrepreneurship space? Why is there such a gap?
Yeah, I'm honestly, I have a lot of friends that are women in this space now. So there are there. I think it's very different if you look at entrepreneurship in terms of, I think a woman owned or founded company is more likely to be bootstrapped versus venture funded.
Yes.
But there's a lot of debate you could take about, is it better to be bootstrapped or venture? I think bootstrapped is so great. I mean, I have friends that could get raise money, women that could raise money, but they've decided that they want to stay. They want to hold the equity. And on the other hand, I went to my first live in-person event last week. And, I'm in Mexico. I went to Puerto Vallarta. There were 100 people that came together. It was an e-commerce conference. We all did COVID testing before and after to make it safe, but, it was probably 90% men. But one thing that I love about what I'm doing now is that I feel like there's many directions to this conversation. There's just a comment that I want to make though, about what I appreciate about being a woman in this space, is that there are some advantages once you're here, in that there's a lot of men in the space that are looking to uplift female voices, but you've got to put yourself in the room first. Mm. And that's the most challenging part. I think the most challenging part for me was not limits placed on me by other people, but it was my own belief about what was appropriate or expected from women. So I really held myself back for a long time until one day I just said, you know what, F this, I have nothing to lose, I'm going to do it. But it took me going halfway around the world to put myself in a new environment, to get out of my own sort of, you know, thought process of what I should and shouldn't do.
Oh. Wow. And so there are some, you're saying there are some limiting beliefs as well. And in terms of this, I guess the question I'm asking is more on the systemic side, because I'm curious to see if you've personally experienced some things that might be disadvantages, if that's a word, towards other women. Because we brought up the venture fund, and now you prefer bootstrapping, but the access to opportunity is more where I'm getting at, where a lot of women, maybe younger women who are listening, might not even try to consider this path because they're not sure if they have support, or the friend network you just brought up with a loan. Where is that?
Right.
Is that more of a mindset thing, or are there things that we can work on in schools and the systems and in our families to actually get more women to pursue a path of entrepreneurship?
I think a lot of it does have to do with role models and how we can see ourselves, see a possible future for ourselves. I'm not going to say that there are not systemic external factors limiting women, because I think that role model thing cuts both ways. Like, women are seeing a lack of role models, but men also are not seeing women portrayed in that way. So I think it's this kind of expectation that affects us across the board as people.
Huh. It's very fascinating. All right. And you also had your dad. You had your dad as well.
I feel like, okay, well, I didn't come from a family with money, but when I needed to start my business, my dad stepped in and gave me a loan for $20,000.
Yeah. Your dad believed in you.
That was a huge, otherwise, if I came from a family where I didn't have that kind of support, it would have not.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. All right.
Yeah.
Speaking of your blankets, I can't leave it asking this. Did you have any personal experience with your blankets? Did your blankets work miracles and wonders with you?
For me personally?
Yeah, were you a test subject for your blanket before you decided to?
I'm a customer of my blankets. I use them, but I've always been a great sleeper. Always. I can sleep anywhere, anytime. I call it my superpower.
It is a superpower. It is a superpower. Yeah. I know some people listening are like, why is this guy talking about sleep? I have problems sleeping. That is why. So I envy people that can do that. All right. Okay. But I'm just curious. How did you know it was going to work though? That's why I was asking on the personal side, because
the business?
No, the blanket. Because
the blanket
itself, like this. Yeah.
Oh, as soon as I brought some back with me to Bali, I had friends, like there was a waiting list because everyone that tried it loved it so much.
Sheesh.
So that was my focus group.
And again, another point for anyone listening, having, you know, they call it an MVP sometimes, or having a product that you can have people test out is always key, whether it's physical or service-based, just so that you can either, I don't know where you get testimonials or see what's working, what's not working, but it's important when you're trying to figure out those little kinks,
very important
in a way. So, okay. But before we go, I always ask my guests this question, which is my mission statement reframed as a question. So how do you, Elizabeth, use your difference to make a difference?
Oh, I forgot about this question.
you can't. That is the question. The question of questions.
I hope can cut some airtime out while I think right now.
Of course. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't want to give myself too much credit here, but I think that the greatest, best thing that we're doing as a company is existing as a company that's here to serve people first and the planet first. I'm hoping that we can pioneer or be one of those companies that is doing business in a way that's to serve people and make the world a better place. And we really mean it. I'm not just saying that vibes, good vibes, putting it out, it all comes back around. And so I just want to be putting positivity and making a difference out there as a way of doing business that serves us all, ourselves included. And I'm very optimistic and excited to see what that brings, because you never can expect what good stuff is going to come.
See, if you weren't going to say that, I was going to say that for you, because I feel like that's what you're doing. So I appreciate you saying that. And Kings, Queens, and Royalty, we're talking to Elizabeth Grojean, founder of Blue Living. It's blueliving.com. We'll put it in the show notes. But this is what people are saying. The best weighted blanket for hot sleepers. I really, truly believe in the product. Feel a bit more calm and collected. Eco-friendly, soft cotton style. Looks and feels luxurious. So, blueliving.com. And thank you for educating us on weighted blankets. And I know you also do weighted comforters, and Blue Kids is also coming up. So thank you so much for spending some
time. Thank you so much. It's been so fun.
Pleasure is mine. And ladies, gentlemen, and gender non-binary individuals, till next time, use a difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.